I love you too, Gary. Thank you. Can everybody hear me? Gary can. Can everybody else hear me? Okay. I need you to touch the person beside you. Say, wake up. And I need you to pay close attention to what I'm about to tell you. Okay. This message that I'm about to preach to you may be the most important message I've ever preached. It may be the most important message you've ever heard, not because I'm preaching it, possibly because it's not preached enough. Maybe because I've not preached it enough. It's not a popular message. That's probably why it's not preached much. Okay? Because people like to preach popular messages. This is not one of those popular messages. I titled the message this week, Blessed Assurance. And it reminds me of a song. Anybody have any idea what the title of the song that it reminds me of? Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight, angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed Assurance. I want you to, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 John. It's near the very end of the Bible. 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. So it's near the end. 1 John, not the book of John, it's the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 5 and go through a little bit of chapter 2. How many of you would like to, how many of you like Blessed Assurance? Blessed assurance, meaning you have the assurance from God that you are His child and that you have every promise that He has made for you. Yes? How many of you like that? Amen. We like blessed assurance, right? Man, that is good stuff. And I love blessed assurance. That's a popular message. Okay. Verse 5 of 1 John chapter 1. And following says this, and this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Everybody said? And if we say we have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us. chapter 2, verse 1 and following says this, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. By this, we can be sure that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments." I'm going to read this verse again. "By this, we can be sure," what's this, blessed assurance? "By this, we can be sure, we can be assured, we can have blessed assurance that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. If anyone says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone keeps his word, the love of God has been truly perfected in him. By this we know him, by this we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to abide in him must walk as Jesus walked." God bless the reading of his word. God's word is strong. God's word is powerful. God's word is true. So let me ask you a question. Do you have assurance today? You can respond to that. What do you base that assurance on? Do you base that assurance on a prayer that you prayed one time? Do you base that assurance on a baptism that you went through? Do you base that assurance on a decision you made? Do you base that assurance on the fact that you walked the aisle, took the preacher by the hand, and repeated a prayer that he led you in? Do you base that assurance on an emotional feeling you had at camp, or an emotional high you had at a retreat, or when the Spirit really moved in a service and you had a moving of your spirit? Do you base that assurance on that event? Second Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verse 10 says this, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these things, you will never stumble." Never stumble. If you practice these things, what things? I'm glad you asked. We're going to go back and see what things Peter was talking about. Verse 5 of that same chapter, 2 Peter chapter 1, says this, "Make every effort to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities and continue to grow in them, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever lacks these traits is nearsighted to the point of blindness, having forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins." If you continue to grow in them. You see, it's not a one-time deal. That decision, that prayer, that baptism, that trip down the aisle, that emotional feeling at camp or anywhere else, you see, that's only the beginning. It's not the end result of the relationship. It's the hello. Nice to meet you. It's the beginning of the relationship. There must be a now let's get to know one another phase of the relationship. That was the introduction. And each day each and every day of that getting to know one another part of the relationship. Trust is built, faith grows, characteristics are learned, mannerisms or ways of doing things are discovered, much like any other relationship, except that the Father already knows you better than you know yourself. He's not learning you, you are learning Him. We are learning Him. But yet some still try to fool God and hide things from Him, and that failed attempt at deception only leads to separation and distance. You see, we think we can hide things from God. We think we can keep one foot in the world and one foot in the spirit world where God calls us to live. And on Sundays, we'll stand on that spirit world foot. And on Mondays, we'll go back to like the flamingo stands, one-footed. That's wishy-washy. That's lukewarm. God says, I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You're disgusting to me. Some versions say, you maybe want to vomit. Be one or the other. Make up your mind. So have you come to know Him? Have you come to know God? Have you come to that part where you say, hello, nice to meet you? By that I mean, have you come to the point where you say, I recognize that I'm a sinner? And the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that fits me because I'm part of all, and I know that I've sinned. I really do. I know that I have done things that go against God's word. And I know that the Bible says that the punishment for that is death. That means eternal separation from the Father. And I can't get there by myself. I understand that Jesus Christ came as the perfect sacrifice for me. And what's required of me is only simply to accept that sacrifice on my behalf. I accept that sacrifice on my behalf, and in return, I surrender myself to Him as Lordship. I surrender. He's my boss. I follow Him now. I give my life because He gave His life to me. For me, I give my life to Him. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And He's my Lord. I follow Him. My life is in His hands. What does it mean to follow? What does it mean to call somebody else boss? That means I no longer make the decisions. That means somebody else makes the call in my life. That's what that means. That means my only job is to be obedient. Have you come to that point? Have you come to that point? Or have you just said, you know what, I don't want to burn in hell all my life, so I'll go and say yes to that. And you've fallen into the oldest trick. That is the deceitfulness of the devil himself, who tells you, hey, all you've got to do is just check the box. You see, if he tricks you into thinking that you're saved and all you've got to do is go through some motions, and then one day you stand before Jesus Christ and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And you say, but Lord, didn't I call you Lord, Lord? And he says, I think you said some words like that, yeah, but you see, where it says in my word, if we say we have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And then here in verse 3 of chapter 2, he says, by this we can be sure that we have come to know God if we keep his commandments. Do you think God just threw that in there just kind of nilly-willy? You think he just said, hey, you know, that'd be kind of cool. I'll just kind of throw that in there and see if anybody catches it. Or do you think he really meant it when he put it in there? Have you come to know him? That verse 3 tells us that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. And I truly love that we can be certain. Don't you know that? Don't you like that? That we can truly know. We don't have to guess. We don't have to hope for. We don't have to wish. The Bible says that we can know. If you're obedient to God, you can be certain that you have come to know him. And therefore, you can be sure of your salvation. Isn't that great? But wait. What if I'm not obedient to God? What does that mean? Well, that's when you really need to start asking yourself some serious questions. And I do mean some serious questions about your relationship with God. Is everyone still awake? Because this is super important. I'm telling you, this may be the most important message I've ever preached. This is when you really need to start asking yourself some very serious questions about your relationship. If I'm not obedient to God, what does that say about my relationship with God? Or is there a relationship with God? Can we ever be completely obedient to God this side of heaven? I don't think it's possible. I don't think the Bible teaches that it's possible, because Scripture tells me to continue to confess my sins and to be repentant. However, I think we've also grown accustomed to using that as an excuse to sin. I'm only human after all, right? But guess what? That's not what the Bible teaches either. Our goal is complete obedience. Jesus Christ is the standard that we're measured against. And with each and every day that passes, we should strive with the help of the Holy Spirit for dominance over sin in our life and become more like Christ and become less sinful today than we were yesterday. You don't reach the goal without making headway, right? We set a financial goal. We mark that goal, and we record the progress each week, right? When we set a financial goal, when we were raising money for shoes, we set a goal and we measured it each week. And it increased and increased and increased. We measured it. We marked it. We saw the progress, right? We expected it to grow until it was achieved. If you're on a diet, you set a goal to lose 15 pounds or whatever, right? Each day or week, you step on the scale and you expect to see less weight on the scale, right? I did that just to show you that some goals are harder to achieve than others. Guess what? Obedience to God is not an easy task either. But this is how we know we belong to Him. I got news for you. 100 years from now, your weight won't matter. 100 years from now, someone else will be remodeling this church or rebuilding this building. So that front entrance that we're about to start raising money for, it won't matter. At least not to you, right? It won't matter much. But listen, your eternity will and should be a matter of utmost importance to you, because you will be in it, someplace or another. And there's only two. There is heaven and there's hell, period. There's no holding place. There's no holding pattern. If you're a Christian, I got news for you. And this may not be something that anybody's ever told you. If you're a Christian, you don't get to choose how you live your life. See, it's not popular. It's not popular. If you're a Christian, you don't get to choose how you live your life. If you're a true child of God, God's word commands us how to live. And if you're still choosing how to live, you've not surrendered to Christ. You're still the boss. Christ is not Lord in your life. You are. You are your own God. I don't know how else to put it. You may say that you're a Christian, but if you're not living as Scripture commands, I'm afraid verse 4 of chapter 2 of 1 John is your verse. Could you put that verse up there on the screen, please? Chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. If you're not living as Scripture commands, if you claim to be a Christian and not living as it commands, whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But there's good news. The good news is you don't have to remain a verse 4 person. You don't have to remain a verse 4 person. You can move from a verse 4 person to a verse 5 person, but that choice is yours. Verse 5, please. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. It's obedience. The choice is yours. I'm only saying what Scripture is teaching. I don't apologize for it because, listen, it just may be the most important message you ever hear. Do not be deceived, my dear friend. God will be faithful and true to his word concerning those who are in Christ. And he will be faithful and true to his word concerning those who are not in Christ. This is not just a time for pride. It's not a time for pride or reputation or apprehension or hesitation. This is a time for you to know where you stand with God. This is a time for you to know, for you to know. Put verse 5 back up there again, please. This is how we know. We know, the Greek word, ginosko. That means to know, to know, to know. This is how you know that you know that you know that you know. This is how that you can know with absolute certainty. And it's all about obedience. And here's the deal. It's not about because I hope that I can know. It's not about I wish I could know. There's a way to know. And it's all wrapped up in obedience. If you obey my commands, God says. The old devil's smart. He's crafty. He says, if you follow religion, that means you do the stuff, the churchy stuff. You still get to do what you want to do, basically what I want you to do. And you'll be fooled into thinking that you're square with God, but I've got you in my pocket. And then when you stand before God one day, I really get you. You see, he's smart. He just doesn't come out flat out and say it. He'd make a great politician. Probably is. Don't be misled. Don't be deceived. He is the great deceiver. That's what he's good at. That's what he's good at. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What is the truth? Jesus said he is the truth. So if you know the truth, if you know the truth, who's the truth? If you know Jesus, Jesus shall set you free. Yep. Folks, salvation is only the hello. That moment of salvation is the hello. There's so much more to the relationship. And it's a lifestyle of obedience. Each and every day. Today, I should be less sinful than yesterday. And tomorrow, I should be less sinful than today. It's a progress. It's a progression. We don't just wake up one day and find out that we're not sin. Matter of fact, the Bible says that if anyone claims he has no sin, he's a liar. Right? But we should be moving towards that goal. Practicing for heaven. Right? If we're not, we need to really find out. I ask ourselves, have I been deceived? Have I been living like the devil and claiming to be God's child? If that's true, it's time to step into the light. It's time to step into the light. Get to know God. Walk in his commandments. Kick the devil to the curb. You don't have to do it by yourself. If you're a child of God, you've got the Holy Spirit within you. Just stop resisting him. Accept the power of the living God within you and say, come on, let's kick the old devil to the curb. He's been kicking my tail for too long. I'm going to stop resisting you, and together let's start resisting him. The choice is ours. And it has eternal significance. Come on, people. We've been called to live separate. We're called to be different. It's time we rise to the call. Father in heaven, raise us up. Lord, we're not like regular people. And if we are, shame on us, Father. Call us out. Raise us up. You've not called us to be regular people. God, you've called us to be extraordinary. You've called us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, people. Living and walking in this dark place as shining lights. What we know about light is the darkness cannot overcome the light when we shine it. Light always overcomes darkness. Father, help us to shine. Stoke the flames. Lord, if we have been deceived and we have been misled to think that we've punched our golden ticket and that's all we've got to do, and we'll just take care of it one day when we see you face to face, Lord, straighten us up. Pull the scales from our eyes. Help us to see that that's not the case. Your word just tells us here in 1 John, Lord, that that's a deception. One of the oldest tricks in the book. Lord, help us step into the light. Help us to be what you've called us to be, and that is obedient. And Lord, where we are not, help us. Give us the desire for obedience, for in that is the proof that we are your children, so that we can be certain beyond a shadow of a doubt. In Jesus' name, amen.